consisted of two kinds of beef, the cooked variety, which was roasted black with peppers, and the raw stuff, which they call brundo. It's not bad at all when served with chutney, but I didn't try it at the time. There was fruit for dessert and the inevitable tej, dispensed from long-necked flasks by the bouncing boobies brigade, and all the sweeter for that. The two Chamberlain chaps shared our nuncheon, as did two of the females, tawny, languid ladies who weren't domestics, but more like companions to the mistress of the house, for they talked to her on equal terms, were well-dressed, and decked with costume jewellery, and plainly thought no small beer of themselves. But then, all ab women do, with cause. The waitresses, whom I spent the time admiring, because Ulaba didn't bother to translate the table talk for my benefit, showed no embarrassment at being looked at. Saucy little dears. Ulaba, by the way, had discarded her tunic in favour of an exquisite saffron robe, which looked like silk, worn toga fashion, with one bare shoulder, and two huge hooped golden earrings under her braids. Just as the meal was ending, there was a commotion in the room below, with female voices raised in anger, and presently one of the maids brought up the ladder stair a girl who was the peachiest thing I'd seen so far, even in that company. She was tawnier than most, but with a long, lovely Egyptian face and huge eyes, which at the moment were disfigured by weeping. In fact, she seemed torn between grief and rage, sobbing into her cupped hands one moment, shaking her fists and raging the next, to the scandal of the women attendants and the wrath of the elders, all of whom contributed to the row, so that it was bedlam until Ulaba snapped them into silence. She spoke sharply to the weeping girl, who answered sullenly at first, then furiously, stamping and giving Ulaba what sounded like dog's abuse, to which she responded with an icy anger which changed the beauty's tune altogether, for she flung herself down by Ulaba's sharpoy, wailing and smothering her feet with kisses. Ulaba spoke to her quietly, and the wench rose, drying her eyes, but then suddenly rounded on me of all people, letting fly another stormy volley, at which Ulaba lost her temper altogether, boxed her ears, and sent her squalling down the stair again. The ladies and elders withdrew, leaving the two of us alone while the pap-flashers cleared away the dishes. I was all agog to know what had ailed the girl. Ulaba was still snarling in Amharic as she disposed herself on her sharpoy again. But then she began to laugh while her tej cup was refilled, and informed me that the hysteric had been Sarafa's woman, now presumably a widow, and consequently madder than a cut snake.
I told her he had stayed to front Yando's fighters of his own free choice, and the insolent bitch swore that you should have stayed also. But she supposed that you had supplanted Sarafa in my bed, and so were precious to me.
She banged her cup down, angry and merry together.
And then, because it is not known whether Sarafa is dead or taken, she falls to pleading with me to bargain with Yando for his life. Bemuti! Well, she knows what price I'd have to pay. And when I refuse her, she calls me a heartless whore that stole her man and left him to die because I have found a new lover, and this from a slave girl to me.
I agreed that discipline below stairs had gone to the devil these days. So she wasn't Serapha's wife then, just his bit of black velvet.
His concubine once, as though that gave her the right to rail at me.
She soothed herself with a sip of tej.
I should have the little slut whipped, or sold to the Egyptians.
What struck me, of course, was that the grieving tart had assumed that I was Ulaba's latest mount. Natural enough, perhaps, but it prompted a disquieting thought. What with all the to-do of ambush and flight, I'd given no thought to the part I was meant to be playing, and hadn't even had the chance to remove my whiskers or take the first steps in transforming myself into Kazim Tamwar. Does she know who I am? What I am? Do the rest of them, those two old files or the women?
To them, you are an Indian traveller. So I have told them, and why should they not believe it? They have never seen an Englishman before. It is when we go south among the knowing folk that your disguise must be complete.
And when will we go?
Perhaps the day after tomorrow. If there is no sign of Yando, that will give time to change the hair on your face while we rest and prepare for the journey.
Very good, Sultana. Now, tell me, What precisely did you say to that noisy young woman when she accused me of being your lover? She regarded me with open amusement as she reclined on her